Yeah, well, welcome to a brand new Hotspurs podcast. It is Tuesday, the 14th of April, 2015. I am Steve, and unfortunately, again, we've got no Colin tonight. So instead, we've got a brilliant replacement. It is Tom Cousins. How are you doing, Tom?
Yeah, hi, Steve. I'm good, thanks.
Just explain briefly, Tom, who you are. You are a member of the Tottenham fabric. You know, don't hold back. Tell everybody where they know you're from.
Tom Cousins, I started the Afghanistan branch of the official Tottenham Hotspur Supporters Club in November 2012. Also co-founder of the RAF Spurs Supporters Club and currently serving with the Air Force.
Fantastic. And you've been on the pitch about 45 times. You've been on the pitch more times than Lamella this season, I think, haven't you?
yeah, perhaps more times than Lamella. I think I've had hopefully more of an impact. But Spurs have been brilliant supporting the forces. And when I came up with this idea back in 2012, it was literally to see if I could blag a couple of free shirts for when I was going to Afghanistan. And Spurs have really embraced it and supported the forces. It's been really a good couple of years on that side of it anyway.
Yeah, no, good. And you're a member of the Bell and Hare Club, obviously. Met you in there several times. Loads of opinions and what have you. And I thought I'd... you've been on before, though, haven't you? I've chatted to you before on the show.
We chatted on the phone, I think, yeah.
In these days of young Colin McKee's... son Christopher, who's just going to be the massive superstar one day, unfortunately it means he has to train every night, so we have to find replacements, and none better than yourself. Right, let's get straight into it then. So we've got Aston Villa on Saturday. I unfortunately couldn't go because I was travelling back from holiday, so all I saw was the highlights, thank goodness. But you went
about
Tom,
2 minutes, was that?
Yeah, tell us about it.
Yeah, it wasn't a great game. I think there was a lot of apprehension before the game. I think with Sherwood coming back, and he'd he made quite a few comments in the media about pretty much how we'd built the whole Tottenham team over the last sort of year or so, with a degree of truth, to be honest. I mean, five of the youngsters all came through the youth team with him. And there was always the chance that he was going to come back and get a win at Spurs, and unfortunately he did. We didn't really turn up either on the pitch or in the stands. The players were poor, the fans, there was no singing, no noise from the Tottenham boys this weekend, and the players didn't do anything either. I thought we were pretty poor.
Not more, yeah. I mean, you've summed it up there. It's that song has kind of died a death a little bit. I'm sure they still sing it on away games, but obviously we had the Sheffield United game, and then we sang it for the next few games at home, and then the away supporters, and I can't remember who it was, started singing it, and then we kind of didn't bother anymore, and we're now kind of back to how it was at the start of the season. Another certain character that Spurs fans don't like at all, Adebayor, said, you know, listen, the stadium is really, really bad at the moment. The atmosphere is not very good. And of course, all the Spurs fans, but you can't say that. That's crazy. But you've just made a brilliant statement there, degree of truth. There is a degree of truth in what Adebayor said. And there's a degree of truth in what Sherwood, of course, has been saying as well. Absolutely right that, he celebrates. I know that loads of Spurs fans, again, are criticising the way he celebrates, the way he says things, the way he conducts himself and all this sort of stuff. It's kind of like this psychoanalysis of a character who Spurs fans have just embraced as like the villain of the piece. And I think personally, Tom, it all comes down to the fact that he once supported Arsenal, because one of the most embarrassing things that I read several times on Saturday before the game was once a gooner, always a gooner. And I didn't tweet this, but I was thinking about it. Once a gooner, always a gooner. Sorry, there's a certain bloke at the moment who's at Spurs who went to Arsenal parades in an Arsenal shirt, which was probably when Tim Sherwood supported Arsenal, a similar age. So we've got to be very, very careful about being hypocritical here with some of our statements, don't you think, Tom?
Yeah, I completely agree, and I'm sure if Harry Kane doesn't score for a couple of games or has a quiet start to the season, that we'll start bringing that up again.
Because
that's what fans do, isn't it? But back to what you said about the support. I mean, the Villa were chanting things like, is this a library, and shall we sing a song for you? And there was no response from the fans. And I do actually believe that the fans sort of generate effort from the players a bit, especially when it's not going particularly well. I think the fans can influence it, and no one really did that on Saturday.
Do you know the best one, when fans sing Shall I Sing a Song for You, it was years ago now, but the best thing that happened after that, I think it was a lower league side in the League Cup, probably about 20 years ago. And this team just went, shall we sing a song for you? And then someone in their crowd went, Tottenham, Tottenham. And they all sang like a song for Tottenham. And I thought it was brilliant, because it's like, yeah, go on then, sing a song for us. We're not going to bother.
That's what we needed on Saturday, I think.
Yeah, it was amusing the way they did that.
Back to the game, I think really, the only positive probably was Danny Rose. And I think Danny Rose has had a, he's got a bit of stick on various podcasts over the years and in reports. But I think Danny Rose has been really good the last couple of months. He's really come on, and he's kind of switched places with Kyle Walker. If you think Kyle Walker was the young player of the year the season before last, and Walker has been pretty horrendous this year, for not sure quite why, but Danny Rose has really stepped up. And there always seems to be, I sit on the lower east stand, just underneath the shelf, and there always seems to be so much space in where our left winger should be, but we don't have a left winger. Townsend, who's left-footed, he's, as we know, plays on the right. Chadli and Eriksen both crowd into the middle, and there's always so much space where our left winger should be, and we leave it to Danny Rose to run up and down that side, defending, then attacking, and then we have a go at him if he doesn't quite get back to his defensive positions. But if Townsend, if they switched him just for 10 minutes, 5 minutes, just gave him a little go on that left-hand attacking side, I think that's where we're going to create chances. And I always think, and you said this to me, I think, when we went, that why don't they have coaches, just a couple of coaches just dotted around the ground, just to see the different perspectives that you get from the different areas, so they can then at half-time speak to the manager and say, look, there's loads of space on our left side. Why don't you put Townsend over there and give that a go? But there's always space on our attacking left.
Well, thanks for giving me the credit for that. I don't think I ever said that, but it was a very good idea. Danny Rose is someone, this time last year, I was saying absolutely, definitely, we need to replace him. We need to get someone in. And what we did, we said this last week, was we got Ben Davis in, and that injected Danny Rose to sort of say, right, I need to step my game up, and he has, and he's been fantastic for me, certainly in the top five Spurs players of the year, if not in the top three maybe. And I'm hoping that Kyle Walker can do the same, because with somebody like Kyle Walker, we have seen him play brilliantly. I think it was the season where he scored against Arsenal about two or three seasons ago. He was fantastic that season. And I was even saying, I'm really worried that Man United are going to come in here and nick him from us. And they didn't. And unfortunately, something happened in last season and this season that he's just not performed well. And this time last season, I said we needed two new fullbacks, even though a load of Spurs fans were saying, no, Kyle Walker is the man. And if you think back to the early part of the season, when we were playing Eric Dier there, certainly not a right back, he got a couple of goals, didn't he? And people were saying, can't wait till Kyle Walker comes back. And I was thinking, actually, no. he actually needs to get a good attitude adjustment or a bit more coaching. I don't know what it is, or maybe a rocket from buying a new right back. So yeah, brilliant. Danny Rose has done that, proved everybody wrong, and I stuck my neck out a couple of weeks ago and said, you know, go on then, Carl Walker, let's see if you can prove us all wrong for next season. I really hope he can.
Well, Chiriches played there on Saturday. He doesn't work at right back. And then the biggest cheer actually from the Spurs fans, not quite sure why. I think probably based on a YouTube video, was when Yedlin came on. They seem to love him. They seem to think he's going to be amazing. And I hope he is that good. But
did he look any good when he came on?
He ran. He's very quick. He ran up and down quite a bit, but didn't really create anything.
Yeah.
But I think he's got potential, definitely.
He only had a few minutes. I mean, you know, I'll base my opinion on him when I see him. You know, again, I always say six to ten games. I think you can form a half decent opinion, but yeah, a real proper opinion on a player, you know, you got to look at 6 months to a season. And really, even that's unfair, isn't it? Because, you know, a load of players in their first season sort of stutter and don't do that well, and it's only in the second season they really come to fruition. But certainly I don't think you can judge anybody in you know, a couple of games, like we tend to do with players like Fazio and what have you. But yeah, listen, it's an appalling. It was an appalling game. We've been there many, many times, though, Tom. So there's no point sort of saying, you know, this is, we want our Tottenham back or anything like that. Because, that is the Tottenham that I've seen over the last, you know, 10, 15 years. You know, playing fantastic against certain sides and playing absolutely abysmally. You know, when we need to get stuck in and we can really push on, and you just see those last two results, five points we've dropped to sides that we should be beating, and we'd be right up there in the mix. And now, obviously, you know, with the way it is, you know, 99% our season is finished. We can't go any lower, I don't think. So we're seventh, which means that it's Europa Cup if Liverpool and Arsenal get to the FA Cup final. So, you know, that's another subject for another time, possibly. You know, I've spoken about it extensively and been on Twitter back and forth with people. And obviously it's three or four years, can't remember how many, of complete, you know, waste of time, in my opinion, on Europa. Tom, you know, just on for you, pro Europa, anti Europa. I mean, you can be both, of course. You can enjoy some games and not others. But generally, you know, if what we will qualify next year, how do we approach it? I mean, you know, let's put aside, you know, we want to win every game, because of course we want to win every game. But how do we approach this side? Say we've got, you know, we're in the middle of August. We've got Newcastle first game of the season, but we've got to go out to Cyprus on the Thursday to play a third rate Cypriot side. What sort of team are we putting out, mate?
I think we put out a young team. We give the youngsters a chance, blood them in the Europa League, and we've got to stay away from playing the first team guys. It does have an effect on the Sunday. That's proven statistically, and going to games on a Sunday following a Europa League, we just can't seem to play. So I personally hope we don't get in it. Actually, I think Liverpool and Man United have shown how you can benefit from not having the Europa League, and how that positively impacts your Premier League form.
And Tottenham, by the way, because when we qualified for the Champions League, it was when we weren't in Europe. And then we came fourth. When we came fourth, and, you know, with the Chelsea debacle, Harry Redknapp decided to, you know, not to bother with the Champions League, didn't he? He played a load of kids. Mm-hmm. And because he knew that, you know, it's too many games. You lose the focus, that you don't prepare it enough for the weekend game. And look at that. Look at the evidence. People won't do it though, Tom. people won't look at the evidence. All they'll do is they'll say, we're Tottenham, we need to win every game. Of course we want to be in Europe. Bill Nicholson said we should be in Europe, we should be in Europe every season. Sorry, it's not the same competition. It's completely different. Go on, Tom.
No, I agree with you. I think we need to give it a miss. I think it'll improve our Premier League form, but we'll have to see and what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, someone tweeted me about Mickey Hazard, to ask him about the UEFA Cup. So it's not the UEFA Cup, it's the Europa Cup. You know, Mickey Hazard and Graham Roberts never played against Limassol in the middle of July or whenever it was. They played, top teams. Actually, I looked at those fixtures in the UEFA Cup when we won it. I think the first game was against a side that you never heard of, and we beat them 14-0. That's the sort of thing we're looking at. But you know, last season we had Limassol. I think we barely beat them 1-2-0, didn't we? It's dreadful for me. But other people love it, I suppose. Who did Lamela score that Rabonda against? Remember?
No, I'll have to.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's just an interesting question. I wonder how many people listening to this who are pro Europa can remember any game from this season that they actually enjoyed, apart from that goal, maybe, or Harry Kane's hat trick again. I can't remember who that was against. But anyway, mate, moving on. I want to talk about Eriksen. What's going on?
I think watching him the last couple of months, he's really sort of died down, hasn't he? And he was so effective at the beginning of the season, scoring. When we went through that phase of scoring last-minute winners, he was always involved, either setting them up or scoring them. And he's just dropped off. And I saw some stats in an article in the paper at the weekend, and it said if you take away from the Tottenham team Lloris, Kane and Eriksen, we'd probably be down in the relegation zone. The saves that Lloris has made, the last-minute goals that Eriksen scored at the beginning of the season, and obviously Kane's 29 goals, that I think we'd really be struggling. But Eriksen's just dropped off. And I think it's probably a little bit to do with what I mentioned at the beginning. Where do you play him? They seem to be pushing him out on the left. And we've seen that so many times with Modric, with Van der Vaart. You play these creative players out on the left because you need to play someone there, and then they drift in, they don't get in the game, and then they don't create anything on the left hand side. So hopefully he'll have a good rest over the summer and come out fighting again beginning of the next season.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy that when he went to Ajax, didn't he, at the start of the season for some kind of farewell thing, and they did his name in fireworks. I mean, you know, even if he went this summer, we wouldn't even consider that, would we? You know, we say, yeah, he's played well in some games. You know, he's a fan favourite without a shadow of a doubt. And I get heavily criticised for questioning that. A few weeks ago, another fellow podcaster, good guy actually, really like him. Not going to name names, but he said, what about you when you said that Eriksen wasn't that good? Sort of taking the mickey, and I sort of thought to myself, should I tweet him back now? Sort of say, well, he's actually not as good as everyone's saying. Those last minute goals, absolutely fantastic, and you can't argue with that. But when someone's saying to me, oh look, he scored again, and you criticise, I'm like, well yes, all these late last minute goals are wonderful, but I wish he'd do something in the first half.
He gave the ball away as well.
He gave the ball away so much. He really gives the ball away so much.
I do think, though, out of the seven players that we bought in the summer, Eriksen and Chadli, to an extent, are the only ones who've really done anything. Yeah. And the others, I think we've got to get rid of them. And we're going to lose a lot of money on them, but I think we need a clear out, big clear out in the summer.
Yeah.
Adebayo, Stambouli, Kapu, Kabul.
Well, again, someone like Adebayo. Sanoa Adebayor coming on against Villa, 20 minutes to go, against his old boss who gave him a chance last season. But that's surely a better option than bringing on Soldado, surely. But people are still, no, can't give him a game. You know, he went to Africa for 2 months and, you know, never saw him, and he doesn't work hard. And so you've got to put Soldado on, who just for me is, I don't know why we do it to ourselves. I really don't. Anyway, that question about Ericsson was from Anthony Silva. And then we had a question from Keith Forster talking about the stadium. What are your thoughts? I mean, obviously, it is a number one priority, and we want the money to make, you know, we've got the money, or we're getting the money. But is it a case now of sort of, if we don't spend loads of money on players, it's going to go to the stadium? I was told that these two are separate things, but I can't see how they can be. Stadium, I mean, you know, it's a difficult one. First of all, Tom, where would you like to play the games while the stadium's being built?
I think you've got to try and keep it in London, or moving it at least. Milton Keynes has been mentioned. Maybe that's a bit too far out, but
that's no good for me. I'm down in Essex. I mean, it'll take me forever to get there.
Essex. Look for a good little stadium in Essex, well, Harlow Town or somewhere like that.
No, I mean, that's why I was like, you know, bad, terrible for Tottenham Town if we'd have moved to Olympic Stadium, but fantastic for people like me who live in Essex. Just, you know, straight 45 minutes in and out, lovely jubbly. You know, it's funny, you know, the West Ham, surely they need a load of money, don't they? Can't we go and play in their stadium for a couple of years?
I don't know about that.
Well, why not?
Well, sometimes I drive to the game and I don't want to come back to my car after the game and not have any wheels.
Well, what about Tottenham?
I've never had a problem in Spurs.
Well, nor have I, but, you know, look at the two areas. You know, they're quite similar, aren't they?
Yeah, no, you're right. Is that an option, or are West Ham going to knock their stadium down?
I don't think it is an option, but I can't see why it wouldn't be. You know, obviously, you know, you've made the comment there, and that's what most people will be thinking. Oh, I don't want to go to that, you know, let's be nice, poo hole, but they're thinking of other words. But is there a massive difference? It's London, it's, you know, similar size stadium. You know, sorry, but it is, you know, so a couple of home truths again, degree of truth and all that sort of stuff. We definitely can't go to Arsenal. You know, that is off the cards because of the animosity. Wembley is probably too big. And again, you know, it's a bit of a schlep for me, you know, being selfish. But, you know, we'll see what happens there.
I think one thing that is clear, though, is that you've got to, the football's got to match the stadium, and you've got to have the players to deliver the football. I'm not sure if when we move into the stadium, if there's going to be this big anti-climax of us playing not particularly well, not particularly attractive, and whether we're going to have to fill it. I mean, the comments from Saturday, you know, is this a library? Now, if we've got 60,000 seats or however many in the new stadium, we can't fill that.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure.
Yes.
We've got to do something. We've got to improve.
We've got to improve. Terry Hill, by the way, asked about Danny Rose and some of the players for this season. We had a good bit of back and forth again about Europa, which, you know, as hard as I try not to talk about, it is a bugbear reminder, as people know. Just a few more, a couple of questions here. One thing I noticed about Michel Vorm, obviously he's getting a lot of criticism. Specifically, Tom, I think his positioning is questionable. Now, if you think back to the Sheffield United semi-final, we should have lost that because that young fella, do you remember, he went through and Vorm was right out by the post. You remember they went 2-0 up, didn't they? Or 2-1. Sorry. And the guy was clean through and Vorm was right out and he hit it over the bar. And then about 5 minutes later, Eriksen, you know, was put through by Kane and he scored. And then there was another moment against West Ham where, you know, I don't know where Vorm was, but the guy had a shot and he was miles away from his goal and he had to readjust his feet. And I just think Vorm's, I don't know what it is. He's handsome, isn't he? He's handsome fella.
if you say so, Steve.
But you know,
he's got to have lost. He's got to lost a bit of confidence. Good? He's come from Swansea, where he was the number one, and he sacrificed that for place on the bench. Literally, only going to play when Lloris is out, or in Europa League, or Capital One Cup. So I'm not sure. I mean, last Saturday was the first time I've really seen him. I don't think he did a great deal wrong. I remember him coming out, playing a bit like Lloris and as a bit of a sweeper, coming out and taking the ball early. I've not seen too many games when he's played, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, he's all right. But I think there's a lot better goalkeepers out. I think there's some really good goalkeepers, actually, especially in the Premier League. You know, I like the lad.
Do you think Lloris will stay?
Well, you know, again, it's so difficult when you do these podcasts because I don't want to upset people. I'm all right. You know, I love talking about Spurs and I love my Spurs. But as soon as I say anything slightly negative, you know, you get absolutely beaten down. But, you know, if I was Hugo Lloris, I'd be thinking, you know, it's not Champions League. You know, think beyond that. You know, if Real Madrid want me, of course you've got to be thinking that way. You know, if there's any movement in goalkeepers, maybe Neuer wants a move, you know, to the Premier League, maybe, or somewhere else. He's been at Bayern Munich for a few years now, you know, and that avenue, you know, who do they look at? You know, of course they're going to look at, you know, De Gea if he goes somewhere. You know, Lloris is up there in the top two or three goalkeepers in the Premier League. These offers come in, and you know, and the same with other guys as well. You know, Chelsea come in with a huge bid for let's say Harry Kane. You know, what's Harry Kane going to do? You know, oh yeah, I'm loyal to Spurs. I want to stay at Spurs.
He's one of our own, Steve.
He's one of our own. But you know, if an agent says, listen, you know, they've offered you 60 grand a week. I can't see Levy offering him any more. Let's say he offers 80 grand a week. And then Chelsea say, well, yeah, all right, well, why don't you come to us and we'll pay you 150 grand a week, plus you'll be winning the Premier League next year. What do you want to do? And if Kane turns around and says, no, I want to stay at Spurs, I'll earn 60 grand a week, and you know, because I'm a Spurs boy. Well, that's wonderful. That is wonderful. But is it going to happen? You know, I don't want to be negative about it. You know, you know, and other players as well. So it is difficult. Who knows? Who knows is the answer to that. But, you know, certain players I definitely think will be on the move. I think Paulinho will definitely go. And as I said a few weeks ago, I think he'll go to a decent side. I don't think he'll drop down. I don't think he'll go to a Stoke or a West Ham or even a Newcastle. I think he'll go probably, maybe not Premier League, you know, top level, but I think he'll go to a really good German side, you know, or an Italian, one of the top Italian sides, certainly. Thoughts on who's going to go?
Yeah, I think Paulinho, I don't know if you saw the Burnley game, that miss, that was probably...
Yeah, I saw it, it was awful.
like I said earlier, Capu, Stambouli...
Capu's just gone, isn't he? I don't know where he is.
I remember him playing. I think one of his early games was against Arsenal.
Yeah,
and he played really well. And I thought, God, he could be a Vieira type, but it's just not happened. I've got a question here from Mark Beza Beresford, big Spurs fan.
Yeah,
and he's just asked what we think about Harry Kane as a captain, and I've actually got a view on this. I think Kane's obviously had a very good season. I think he's relatively inexperienced. I don't think he's a captain type player. He's not really vocal on the pitch, and I watched him. Obviously, he's playing up front on his own, so he's not really in a position to influence. And when we went one down to Villa, there was no one. You know, they all walked back to the halfway line with their heads down. No one really got amongst them to motivate them and to generate some passion. And I think we've perhaps Pochettino has put a bit too much pressure on Kane by picking him as the captain. I don't really see where that one came from, actually.
Yeah, I mean, Bentaleb for me would have been the obvious choice. Central midfield, you know.
Mason.
Possibly. Obviously, Kane, we've seen him being vocal in certain clips. But yeah, probably a bit too soon. for that. You know, but again, it's a difficult one. You can see why he's chosen him because he leads by example. Any other questions there, mate?
No, that was the only one I got. You obviously a few more than me.
Yeah, no, I only had a few.
What do you think about the games coming up?
Well, we got Newcastle, who are as dreadful as we are, probably more dreadful actually. You know, but I think Newcastle suffer from the same thing that we do, which is we go and buy these players. They don't necessarily have to be foreign; they can be English. We offer them huge amounts of money, and they perform in certain games, especially the top games, possibly on Sky, and then they don't perform in other games. And I think it comes down to attitude. You know, that guy in midfield, is it, what's his name, who came from Sunderland? You know, really, really, you know, I bet he's a fan favourite up there because he gets amongst it, but he's no way near as creative as some of their other players. And I think we do the same thing. You know, I think it is a case of now taking stock and thinking, don't go and buy, you know, Carlos Kickerball and get some of these, you know, guys who are going to put it about. It's difficult, isn't it? I mean, I just don't know. And to predict the score on Sunday, you know, how could you do that? You know, I just think it's two poor sides. You know, great for the neutral, of course. But honestly, if we can't beat Newcastle in the way that they're playing at the moment, you know, things aren't looking good.
I've been up there three times in the last couple of years, and we've lost all three. So
yeah. I mean, it is end of season, so I don't think it's all doom and gloom. You know, I think we will regroup in the summer, and you know, I think Pochettino, we cannot get rid of him. You know, even if we lose our next six games, we cannot get rid of him because we can't keep chopping and changing. Whatever you think of the guy, I don't think we should have got rid of half of the managers that we did, because you know the big thing here, Tom. You've got to learn from your mistakes, and you've got to allow these guys to learn from their mistakes. So Pochettino, with a bit of luck, will get to the end of the season and he'll think, right, I tried that. That didn't work. That didn't work. I need to look at my players and then I need to make the decisions. You know, what you get sometimes is a guy who makes the same mistakes over and over and over and over and over again. And in those respects, yes, you get rid of them. But we don't give these guys a chance, do we? Because 18 months into, you know, we get rid of them and say, well, you know, we've lost the last six, so we'll get somebody else in. They start well, then, you know, so.
No, I absolutely agree. He's had one season. There have been times when we've looked very good, Chelsea, Arsenal. There's other times which suggest, you know, he's got some work to do and he's got to make some improvements. But I think we've got to support him. We've got to give him the funds so that he can go and buy his players, and certainly give him at least another season, and if not more.
And again, it's nothing to do with him. It's as a Spurs fan. You know, it could be anybody in charge there. But as a Spurs fan, I cannot go into work again and have some Arsenal fan come to me going, oh, another manager. You know, I just can't stand it. Yeah, it's just one after the other of these managers that come and go. We've got to stick it out and you know, and see how we get on, because otherwise, you know, it's just back to square one once again, unless somebody huge comes along. You know, there's certain people who might fancy the job. Can't think of them now, but All right, mate. Well, look, you know, it's hard. I've only got one more thing written down here, which is about Dembele. And you know, obviously, he started off the season really badly. He came in for a few of the big games, Chelsea, Arsenal, where he ran the game, it was fantastic. And then he played against West Ham, and it was probably the worst performance from any Spurs player of all season. And of course, that meant he couldn't. He more or less said to Pochettino, "Please don't pick me for the cup final." And ever since then, he's come on as sub. What a talent! What a waste. And I think he'll be another one that goes in the summer, unfortunately. You know, these guys, just look at some of these guys, Tom, that we're selling in the summer. Adebayor, Dembele, Paulinho, to name three. Soldado, you know.
He wasn't on my list, actually.
These guys are fantastic, fantastic footballers, Tom. Much better footballers, as footballers, than what we've got in the current side. Yeah, but we've got to sell them because their attitude stinks. Go on, mate.
No, passionate there. He wasn't on my list of players to sell. I think he, again, have a good summer, and I think he could come out. I think we've been a bit too defensive at times in recent games. Saturday may have been an example with Mason and Benteleb. And I think if you put Dembele in there and took one of those two out, you would have that attacking dimension rather than just that solid sort of sitting in front of the back four, and which Benteleb and Mason do. So hopefully we keep him, and hopefully his attitude improves and he gets some games, and hopefully gets some goals as well. That's something that he's disappointed. He hasn't really scored many goals at all for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
One thing I wanted to say, Steve, and I know that it's pretty gloomy, that this podcast, but if we take it back to New Year's Day, that great game against Chelsea, and if you want to rewind to that, if you're a Spurs fan, and if you're into garage music as well, I don't know if anyone's seen the DJ EZ Spurs mix. If you Google DJ EZ Spurs mix, it was DJ EZ's New Year's Day live 8-hour set, and he, in the middle of this dance music set, he started mixing "Oh When the Spurs," and he's a real big Spurs fan, and it's on YouTube. It's a great watch if you're a bit down as a Spurs fan.
Well, yeah, sounds good. Unfortunately, though, Tom, this is a heavy metal and rock and roll podcast, so you know there won't be many people listening to that. You know, we're strictly Metallica and Guns N' Roses. Thin Lizzy, Martin Heiser. But listen, you know, it's been great having you on. Any other little?
Yeah, just finally, thanks very much for having me on, and it's really good when we've met up in the Bell and Air, and hopefully we'll do it again and can have some good results. Bit of a shout out to those in the armed forces who are serving overseas at the minute, and supporting at Afghan Spurs and at RAF Spurs. I know it's really important when those guys get to see the games, and hopefully they've got something to cheer in the final games of the season and into next year.
Yeah, I mean, look, we've just lost to Aston Villa. We were dreadful against Burnley. It's difficult doing a positive show, but we'll keep going. And I always think back to Portsmouth in the Cup semi-final, one of the worst performances I've ever seen, when we were playing a side that were nearly going out of business, and we'd taken their manager, and we were playing really, really well, and we were dreadful that day. And then we lost Palacios, who was on fire, and then we had Arsenal and Chelsea, and we came away thinking, well, that's it. What are we going to do now? And we beat them both. Yes, it's been dreadful the last few weeks, but we're going to win the next six, and Man City, Liverpool, United and Southampton are going to lose, and we're going to creep into fifth and finish 1 point behind Arsenal yet again. How about that?
Yeah, that's a great plan, mate. Come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.